Welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Teleseminar Series, where today's presentation is brought to you by Brian Kaplowitz and SpeakerMatch.com. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks.
Well, that's wonderful. We're glad to have you here with us. Annie Jennings PR is a strategic marketing and publicity firm that offers advanced branding, publicity, and marketing services to clients. Annie Jennings PR helps clients achieve their optimal levels of success using media outreach and develops messages for clients, packages, and expands individuals, corporations, authors, and experts. Annie Jennings PR is well known for advising clients on exactly how to use their marketing dollars for optimal impact, given their personal and professional set of circumstances. Annie Jennings PR also offers the famous pay-for-placement publicity strategy that allows clients to access the specific media exposure required by their marketing strategy without the high cost of monthly retainers. And Annie Jennings has been an invited guest lecturer for the Harvard Club in Boston, New York University's Publishing Program, as well as the American Society of Journalists and Authors. She is the premier publicity expert in the country, with her knowledge sought out by professionals, organizations, and media everywhere, including AOL.com, TheStreet.com, Us Weekly, as well as leading business magazine Fast Company, who says that Annie Jennings PR is the place to go to learn how to become a best-selling author. So, Annie, thank you so much for all you do. And here we are.
That's wonderful, and I'm very happy to be here. And I just want to say that Stacy has over 10 years of public relations experience working with the national media, including major city radio, national TV, top city, and national newspapers and magazines. In other words, very much a frontline publicist. She is part of our Annie Jennings PR team, of course, and she's spoken dozens of times at our teleseminars, including presentations for NYU, New York University, and the American Society of Journalists and Authors, and recently at the Harvard Club in Boston as well. So thank you, Stacy, for being here today with me and sharing your frontline experience on what it's really like to be up there working with the hot top media every single minute of the day.
Well, hey, it's my pleasure and it's our passion. Be working with the top media every day. It's fun.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So, we'll explain and we'll go into a little more detail. But in interest of full disclosure now, we should mention that we now practice the pay-for-placement business model. All right, we're the creators of the model that is very well known today across the industry. So we started as a retainer-based PR firm, which is why I'm able now to give you the differences, and our teleseminar today is going to cover the differences between retainer-based publicity, pay-for-placement publicity, or it's sometimes known as pay-for-performance publicity. What is the focus of each one? How do they differ? Which one offers guaranteed deliverables? Return on investment, how to evaluate that for these different types of PR, and then how to choose the right one for you, and if you choose one, how to make sure it works for you. So we're going to cover a lot of the details, also talk about advertising, and when you do want to advertise, and what's the role of advertising in your overall marketing initiative, and of course, how do you, the holy grail of all of this is understanding how do you leverage your publicity into return on investment, that is, into opportunities that allow you to get more clients, get more speaking events, and more opportunities for yourself. That's the key, all right? That's what we want. So we can start a little bit with retainer-based publicity and give you an overview of a retainer-based PR campaign. Now, we no longer do retainer-based PR. We fell in love with the pay-for-placement model because it's so much fun, and you'll see as we present why it is so much fun to work in this model, okay? Remember, we all have to work for a living, so you want to have fun doing it, right? So, Stacy, let's talk a little bit about retainer-based publicity. We'll start there. And we'll do the pros and the cons. Okay, so let's do like what it really is, sort of the pro side.
Okay. Well, if anyone is unfamiliar with retainer-based work, you know, in terms of publicity, or it's probably similar to other things that you pay retainers for also, but a retainer-based program obligates you to a set fee, which is determined by a contract that you're locked into, and you have to pay this set fee no matter what happens. right? And typically, these fees don't include any guaranteed deliverables, right? So if you are paying a publicity firm $5,000, maybe $10,000, who knows, a month to provide you with media placement, then you're taking a chance that you may end up with what we like to call orphan radio shows, small radio shows on outskirts of markets, or possibly some small internet print, so on and so forth. That's what you might get back in terms of your retainer-based publicity contract. You just don't know. There's no deliverables.
And that's the upside. Plus, remember that usually the contracts are for a set period of time. You have usually, I'm seeing 5 months minimums now. 6 month minimums at, I'm seeing $10,000 per month. So $50,000 per month. Recently saw a 9 month retainer contract for $5,000 a month for $45,000 total. Now, what can you buy for $45,000 with pay for placement? You can buy your opportunity to make some really, really big bucks. With retainer-based PR, since there's no guaranteed deliverables, your $45,000 may not earn you any return on investment. So here's the key. It's the management of money. What is an investment and what is an expense? An investment is something that earns a return, that doesn't go away, that you have, and you can earn a return on that. That's an investment. An expense is money thrown down the drain. It's gone, okay? After a period of time, it's an expense. It's gone. The money brought you nothing but a short-term benefit, such as eating out. I think that's an expense, Stacey. Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, expenses. Yeah. Look at the car insurance model. You pay your insurance for 1 year, and you get your coverage for that period of time, but really it's an expense, all right? Because if you didn't use it, it becomes a drain, okay? Or it's an expense. It's money gone, okay, versus money invested. That is, you have a dollar. It becomes $1.10. It becomes $1.20. It doesn't become zero, okay, because you've used up, all right, its value. So that's retainer basis, that you can actually turn a big investment like $45,000 into a big expense. All right, now, we have a story for you, a real story about, and we can compare and contrast these two stories about the $45,000 and what another client who spent $45,000 with us under our pay-for-placement model actually was able to achieve. And as you know, I'll just segue for a moment, on our website we have real stories. These are real stories of clients. This, our strategy doesn't just work for one, for two, for like one in a million, right, that lucky individual that's handpicked out of a crowd of thousands to go on a big show. No. Our clients are experiencing results across the board. There's no phenomena here. It's happening, and it's happening every single day. One client spent without revealing totally what he spent with us, but let's pretend it's around that $45,000 mark, let's say. He was able to triple his speaking fees, triple. To $20,000 per event. He was able to sell, initially it was 25,000 books, and he just kept flying from there, up to 50,000 books. And he was able to just go from maybe being an average player in his field to being one of the leading experts in the country in his area of expertise. Now that's probably, he didn't even probably spend 45, okay? Probably much less than that. Now, compare and contrast that to another client whose real story is up on the site. That's AnnieJenningsPR.com/publicitypro, and they're equally qualified, okay? So, qualifications are important to keep in mind. Equally qualified. She spends the $45,000 with the retainer-based firm, and then she decides to come to us. She got 3 placements with them. Before she signed the contract with us, we had her booked on a major TV show. And then this is the one earlier who plans to spend, well, she spent about $5,000 with us, and in the recording, you'll hear her say, when I ask her, how much will you make, okay, from the 2 placements, or actually 3 placements you got with Annie Jennings PR, and they were national, of course. She's national material. She said, I expect to make 100-fold. That's $500,000. All right, she knows how to leverage the publicity. And that's the key, leveraging the publicity. So she made a terrific investment with us, a poor investment with the retainer, and this other gentleman made a terrific investment with us, too. So you see, we're talking about investing. And that's the problem with, well, now let's talk about the downside. The downside, we just told you the upside of retainer-based publicity, is that they will try, now here's the difference, try to get you publicity, but no guarantees are made. Now, because of our successful pay-for-placement business model and our encouragement in teleseminars like this for people to demand deliverables, don't throw your money away, invest your money, I think people are getting smarter and they're saying, I want to know what I'm getting for my money. And if a business is smart, they're going to say, we have client demand for outcomes. We have client demand for guaranteed deliverables. See, the industry never had this before. All right, before we were around, there was nobody saying, we're going to guarantee a deliverable, or you don't have to pay. Right? So these concepts are kind of new, considering the entire length of PR. They've only been around about 10 years. When we switched over and began the quest of educating people that there is, you can get a guaranteed deliverable. You can pay for results only. And we were the firm that had the courage and tenacity and drive to go out and figure out how can we make this a win-win. And you know, it all goes back to the mission statement. We have a mission statement now that's become famous in the industry, and it's for the betterment of all. And for the betterment of all, to me, meant I had to find a way to make publicity possible for not just for those with the money and could afford the $5,000 or $10,000 a month, but for every single person who feels that they have a message that's worth sharing to help even one other person. And that's our driving goal every day. That's our fuel. In order to live the mission statement, we looked at the models that were out there and said, something's wrong with these models. This is not a successful, powerful model for all people involved, not just for the client. It's not good for the publicist. We're going to explain why momentarily. So the thing with this is now there's no control. With retainer-based publicity, there's no control, no choice. If it was worthwhile, we'd be doing it because we do things that make sense. We do things that are investments, and we do things that have a lot of value. We're more than business model. We don't just give a placement and move along. We create placements that work in an overall business model of success. All right. There's no motivation for a retainer-based publicist to succeed. Okay. There's no financial motivation. Now, the money has gone to the company, and it's up to a publicist, okay, to perform the contract. Now, booking is hard stuff. This is not easy. Anybody who's tried to book themselves, who's listening now, will understand what I mean by that. It takes persistence, creativity, consistency, perseverance under pressure, right? A very thick skin, because who likes rejection? Rejection can ruin any publicist, because why risk rejection, the pain of rejection, for absolutely nothing? Right? Remember, if they get the booking, they get nothing more than what they already have. There's no incentive. So what's the difference between getting bookings and getting no bookings at all? There isn't any. There's no incentive. The only thing is, by going after a booking, you risk rejection, and you have to work very, very hard. Why go into the lion's den armed and ready to fight for your placement? All right, like a pay-for-placement publicist would. When you have to develop cutting-edge story ideas, segment ideas, you have to know your client inside and out, and you have to be willing to defend your request for the booking. Now, that's a lot. Think about that. This is a huge process here. It's one that we love, though, because it's really exciting, and I'll tell you why soon. But we have to do that to get the placements. Now, think of the difference now. You're starting to get the parallel. One doesn't have to do that, and they have their money. The other one has to do that to get the money, right? So who would you rather work with? So it takes a lot of energy and a huge amount of skill, commitment to the outcome, and a lot of courage, all right, to do this pay-for-placement model and to go out there every day and face the media. Now, of course, for us, those days are over because we're very, you know, just as when you have to, you know, as they say, you know, you have to kill it to eat it, it starts to become a sport, fun, you start to excel. So in the early days, yeah, there was that whole entire risk. But now all those risk factors are out of it for us. All right, now here's another serious problem with the retainer-based model, and I think it's a disservice to everybody working in the pay-for-placement in the retainer-based model, is that when you give over your money in advance, $5,000 or $10,000 per month, it does not fuel the creative drive for anyone. Okay, it doesn't fuel the survival instinct. It doesn't in any way give you the ability to fight in the lion's den of the media and win. Right? It takes the fun out of the job. You've already gotten your reward, and you didn't even have to do anything, and you already got the reward. The fun is in the creative process, but it's also in the winning of the placement for the client, and it's in the winning of the reward. Now, that's part of the, that's how we can, you know, that's why we say we love what we do, because think how exciting it is for me every day, for us every day. Now, we have something we talk about here. It's called automatic deposit syndrome. And this is like a trance people get into. And it's not fair to the employee. See, this is why this is not fair. The fun, the thrill, the quest, all right, the inner drive that people have to perform and be successful is removed. When you give somebody the reward in advance, what's the motivation for anyone, those of us who have children, we know, or have to manage people, is that many people go after the reward, the outcome. They're driven by that. So automatic deposit syndrome is a phrase we created here just to describe people who they get paid no matter what they do. You know, sometimes with customer service, when you have an issue, you're talking to a person on automatic deposit, and you realize they're not going to help you because their motivation is not to help you. Why bother to help you? They're going to get their check anyway. So unless you're dealing with somebody with a strong work ethic who's been thoroughly trained and screened, you may wind up with one of those customer service people who say, "I'm sorry, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry you brought a defective product 2 days ago, but it's not my problem." Quite frankly, it's not their problem in their mind. It is, of course, but by the time that filters down to the people who are paying the salaries, the damage is way done already. How fun is that to work? We're all about passion. We're all about living the dream. And if you're not in a job where the passion and living the dream and the excitement and the thrill of challenging yourself and developing a skill set that then is no longer, it's strong. It gets you the outcome you want. That's fun, and that's success. All right, but if you're going to choose a retainer-based publicity model, the right choice is important. Choose to work with a firm with a very good reputation, that they do know how to get the results, and they can prove it, provable history, of booking the outlets you want. So if they're of a provable history of booking, and if you want that placement, you feel it's vital to your overall marketing wheel, just keep looking until you find a firm that matches. Their specialty matches your desires and where you want to go with your PR campaign. That would be a good match. I like that idea. See, the thing is that if somebody came to me, and some people do, and they ask me to book shows I don't book, all right, we're more breaking news, we're feature sometimes, morning shows, but if someone asks me to book a show I don't book, I'm right up front about it because I'm not a break-in publicist. I don't want to break in to a new show that I can't with a guest who probably can't get on. That's not going to work for me. Remember, a publicist gets one shot to do a great job with a new outlet. So if I don't have the exact right client for that particular outlet, I won't bother to do a break-in because a break-in is dicey and you can easily ruin your reputation forever with that particular show. Now, with pay for placement, it's more of a quest than a job. It's, you'll like this one, it's all work. Seriously, it's all work. We work all day. We don't let up, even for a second. There's no breaks. But it's all work that seems like play. All right, it's exciting. We're working to actually get outcomes, working in a huge creative mode. We're publicists that can take the heat from the front lines. All right, you grow into that. You know you're in frontline publicity. We pay-for-placement publicists they're not paid unless they get the results. And we guarantee the results, too. So either you get it and it works the way we say, or you don't have to pay me. So what's going to happen? You're going to get it, and it's going to work the way we say, and you're going to pay me. That's the model. So just think of all the problems that are removed from that model. There's no trying. There's no failing. There's no things that err, but all of a sudden your book name is cut out or something critical is cut out, and then you're miserable because you kind of paid that retainer. Here, something important is cut out. The fee is reduced or waived. All right, so we guarantee that the placement errs or prints as promised. Again, all the risks. So what's going to happen every step of the way? Your publicist is going to be watching the placement to be sure it's perfect. Sure, there are some times when things are out of our control, all right, but those things are taken care of with our guarantee. So what happens sometimes? Maybe somebody who's not familiar with the importance of a bio will come in, and they'll cut out the most important thing from a bio. Let's say it's a print placement, such as the person's website, you know, critical component of a placement. And without knowing any better, oopsie, they didn't realize they were told to cut 20 words, and they did cut the wrong 20 words. That can happen, and that's out of our control. So that falls under the guarantee. All right, now, publicists get one chance with the media to prove themselves or make a fool of themselves. So again, if any publicist is lackluster, again, like that wet noodle, they'll never get through to the media again. If the pitching is not perfect, it's over for them. You get one chance, and then the journalist or whoever it is, you know, may not be so anxious to open your next email or take your next phone call because time is precious to them, and they want to work with professionals who know how to get the job done. We, of course, living on the edge is fun. It's a thrill. It's adventurous. And who wouldn't want a day filled with that? You know, it's fuel. Working for results and outcomes and rewards, it's fuel. It's all-day adrenaline. There's nothing boring. There's no energy zapping. Like, I absolutely cannot tell you where the last 10 years have gone. And that's how long we've been doing the pay-for-placement model. We had our Jerry Maguire moment, which I'll share someday with you, and decided we need to do something different. It's better for the marketplace to do a model where people only pay for the desired results and publicists only get paid for the desired results. That sounds like a win-win to me. And that's what we created. Now, also, under pay-for-placement, you have a voice in the strategy, and you can ask for a placement or a class of placements. All right, so you understand about the return on investment. You know what you're going to be spending in advance, and you know what the outcome's going to be and how to leverage that outcome into more money and opportunity for yourself. Another big thing about pay-for-placement is it is fast. Fast, fast, fast. Even before contracts are signed, our publicists are landing media for the client because we're good and we're fast. All right? So pay-for-placement, with retainer, you'll wait 4 or 5, 1 month, you know, month one, is a lot of pitching. Month two could be follow-up. Month three could be getting the results. Month four could be maybe more results. Month five, maybe more results. And then month six, you're gone. I don't know. It's just the whole model takes so long, all right? Whereas pay-for-placement, we're instant. We're instant. And that's what we really like about our model, too, because you sort of get, you know, your instant return. We get our instant return on our time investment, which is fun for us, too. We don't have to wait. We just kind of book it. So we create the blink factor. That's the thing with pay-for-placement, too, is because of the edge and the adrenaline factor, you start to get really good. So we instantly know why a client's good. Instantly I know their message. Instantly I know where they can fit in with what the media is covering today. Remember, if you can't apply your knowledge to what the media is demanding, you cannot get booked. It doesn't matter who you work with because the media just doesn't work that way. So here's the secret. No pitch is ever used 2 days in a row. Why? Well, what's happened? 24 hours has gone by. And guess what's outdated already? Your pitch. I know, it's outdated. In 24 hours, it's over. Now, our motivation is to keep the pitch cutting edge and looking forward moving. What's tomorrow? What's later? What did they do today, this morning? See how it gets very highly specialized now? We get very sharp, very smart. But think about the other model. The other model, what's the feedback for change? You know, what's going to happen? Rejection definitely is feedback for change, but when you still have your money anyway, what's the desire for change? Or how is the change really motivated? For us, if we don't get the booking, we don't get paid. So you better bet you're going to see behavior change on our end. If we don't get a booking, we're back to the drawing board, and we're creating a booking, something more, something better. The media tells us if we're good. So I would say to use pay-for-placement when you have specific goals. You want to rise to the top of your industry, and you'd like to do it very quickly, and you want to make the best use of the money, the investment dollars that you have. Now, sometimes with pay-for-placement, the placements seem to happen by magic or appear out of nowhere, and it may seem that way, okay, but it's really the latter strategy in motion. Okay, the reason that pay-for-placement works so well for all those real stories is because the latter strategy is a smart strategy. And again, we named it the ladder strategy because it's such a simple visual. Think about climbing up to the ladder, and every rung is a level of media placement, and every rung positions you for your next step up the ladder until you get to your holy grail of media, which is major wire services, big TV shows, major print. You know, those are the strong positioning media that everybody wants, the top shows in the country. But you can't just say, oh, well, I'm going to do pay-for-placement, and by the way, I want to be on the biggest show in the world. Okay, so now, if you were to tell me that, I would look at your bio, and I would look at a way to defend my pitch. I wouldn't immediately say no, I'd look and see what you were bringing to the table. To defend my pitch, because guess what they asked me to do at the highest levels of publicity? They ask me to prove it. Yeah, they ask me to prove it before their team of producers. They say, you want your client on, I'd like to know why. And I have to be armed and dangerous. I'm in the lion's den at that point, so are all my publicists, and we have to know why you're good and why you deserve the placement, which is why so many of our clients wind up on the national media, because we can answer that question. All right, so that's why if you came to me and said, okay, great, I heard your thing, I want to do pay-for-placement, I just want this top level, I'd have to look at my proof. How do I prove to the media that you are ready for that level of placement? And let's say you're not ready. Well, now we look at the ladder strategy. What rung are you on? Are you on 1, 2, 5, 7, 8? Everybody qualifies for a different rung, and it's so simple. All the strategy is you qualify for a rung, and then we have to get you to the next rung, to the next rung. Media begets media. Media qualifies you for bigger media. So when you're working a ladder strategy under a pay-for-placement program, every single dollar that you're spending is you're investing in your future. And see how brilliant that model is. It just simply makes sense. It gets the client to their highest optimal levels of success without wasting a penny. There's nothing wasted in the model. Now I'm going to bring Stacy back in, and because we wanted to talk a little bit today, Stacy, about advertising, how advertising differs from publicity. So I'm going to let you take it away.
Well, we get this question a lot, and you can understand why. I mean, marketing, advertising, publicity, a lot of times are just lumped in to the same category when they have very different deliverables and objectives for you within your strategy to get yourself out there and be a top expert and market yourself or your company or your speaking business. For instance, with advertising, you're going to be paying more money, okay? You're going to be paying more money. The price ends up being a sticking point for a lot of people. Advertising is something that you're paying for every single second for. Okay, we actually, when looking at our radio campaigns and looking at the value of them to our clients, we looked at the 30-second spot prices for advertising on some of the major markets in the country. And so if we pull these up, you'll find, and you'll probably be shocked by some of the cost. For instance, of course, the number one market
good one. Yeah.
In the country, right? The number one market in the country is New York City.
Right.
For a 30-second spot in New York, you're paying about $1,400. And that's on average. So, you know, if you're going for the number one station in New York, let's say WCBS or WINS or WABC, something like that, it may even be slightly higher. But you look at that, $1,400 for 30 seconds of advertising, which we all know, I don't know about you, or you know, but for myself, when I'm listening to the radio and I hear somebody say, and great, make sure you go down to the car, my car dealership and blah, 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 mm-hmm. you're going on this hard sell for 30 seconds. With advertising, I tune them out or change a channel or look for the other, you know, the station that's got music playing on it. So, you know, for 30 seconds, you're paying $1,400 for a spot of advertising, a radio ad in New York City. You know, when you're on the radio, you're able to use the time, and obviously not nearly as expensive in terms of paying for the opportunity to be, of a guaranteed, right, a guaranteed interview, to create a relationship with the audience. They're not going to tune you out when you're on an interview, as long as you're engaging, you're prepared, and you're talking about cutting-edge information. They want to listen in. If you're able to resonate with the listeners, you're getting a whole lot more time on the air than the 30 seconds for your $1,400. That's for sure. I mean, if you just say you had a 10-minute interview, a drive time interview, if you just multiply that out, 30 seconds, that's $28,000 for 10 minutes on a New York radio station. So that's a big, big difference in terms of what it costs for advertising. And again, the outcome is different. I mean, there are differences there with advertising. You're paying for the time, so you're able to say your phone number 50,000, you know, times, a number of times. You're able to mention the website a number of times. But what you're not able to do is create a relationship with the listener, you know, and with doing a radio interview itself, with doing publicity on that same station versus advertising, you are able to do that. You're able to do more with your time. Obviously, the length of time is longer, and you're able to create that relationship with the listener, which is what publicity is all about. It's public relations. You're trying to touch people. You're trying to engage them. You're trying to move them to learn more about you. You're not trying to get in their pockets, which obviously is what advertising is. People who are advertising, you want someone, the listeners, to do something, and that's to buy their product. Okay, so the advertising spots, they're highly strategized to make the most of every second and every word. And listeners know that. You know, so when you're in that publicity-based initiative, you have that longer time, again, to get into discussion, you're connecting with the audience, you're showcasing your experience, and you're offering value. You're sharing your knowledge, and you're giving value without asking for anything in return. That's the difference. The listeners aren't going to feel as if you have your hands in their pocket. Okay, you know, obviously the bottom line is you'd like to create that relationship and get it to a place where the listeners do buy your book or contact you for a speaking engagement or maybe for some other opportunities, some consulting. You can still accomplish bio building, building your platform, climbing up the ladder, and brand building. You can accomplish all of that with publicity, with doing interviews. You can get the media experience, and you gain that all-important media savvy, those types of interviewing skills that you only get through experience. And then you can use them in your future media placements. So there's a big difference in terms of the deliverables, what you get when you're looking at advertising, which, you know, shorter time frame. You know, you're not able to create a relationship or resonate with the listeners, if the listeners are even still listening to the advertising. Okay, and a lot of times they feel like they just want you to buy something, which is what the goal of advertising is. And then you turn to publicity, and we're talking about radio here specifically, because that's what I have the information for. But with publicity for radio, when you are doing all the things that advertising is not, and that's creating the relationship, instilling trust in the listeners, hopefully urging them, you know, through your advice and your benefit-oriented interview to go to your website, to become a part of your community. So, you know, that one-on-one, which you get with the interview, is much better than the buy me advertising. I mean, advertising, of course, does have its role. We believe in the wheel strategy. Of course, we created that as well, where success
is a wheel. Your platform is a wheel. And each spoke represents another initiative. In one spoke, you have publicity, and the other spoke is advertising. Of course, that's one or two of many spokes. And your success wheel gets stronger with every spoke that you add to. Now imagine, and this is a visual, imagine just for a moment that you are on a wheel, a unicycle, with one spoke. I mean, how strong is that? The spoke is going to bend instantly. So the idea is to continue to add as many spokes to your marketing success wheel. And I mean, advertising is a spoke, but there is just a huge difference in terms of cost and deliverable when you're talking about the difference between advertising and publicity. And I know, Annie, we talk also a lot about using marketing to be able to tie all, you know, the advertising you may do and the publicity you may do and all the other spokes, how you tie it all together.
You know, exactly. And one thing is interesting is that a lot of firms are maybe moving into this. I'm seeing people move into pay for placement. Now, here's, I actually spoke personally, all right, to these firms to find out what the offer really was, all right, because they wanted me to buy their placements, right? So I said, well, what do you charge? Well, you won't believe what they charge. All right, now this is over the top, and I'm not recommending these prices because I don't think you have to pay this much. Okay, one person for a segment on a major network that we work with, we book instantly every single day. We book the real segment. They book like the middle of the night portion of it. Their rate was $19,000 for a middle of the night segment on a major network. Ours is a fraction of that, all right, pay for placement. Now, here's another company that came into play. You're going to love $40,000, okay, for a placement that we charge $2,500 for. It's insanity, but that's the demand now. This is how important these high-level media placements are. When you're on the big national TV and you're sitting across from a celebrity host, and he's saying, you know, welcome to America's foremost expert in, that goes a long way in making you money, in leveraging, and giving you a marketing tool. It's called media gold. How much are you willing to pay for the significant advantage over your competitors? And apparently the answer for these companies was $40,000, $20,000, because these segments are so powerful for you. All right, these are not, you can't just walk into these segments.
And a lot of people do ask me that question.
Mm-hmm.
How likely is it that you will be able to get placed on something, or, you know, get called in to be a guest somewhere without using a PR expert?
Well, here's the thing is that, there's two answers to your question. One is, without using a PR expert, it's probably none or very small, depending how good you are at presenting yourself. Because remember, I have to craft and perfect the client and answer the word prove it, okay, to the producer. So an inexperienced person who might be a little sensitive to rejection, when the producer says, okay, great, prove it, will they be ready? So that's why that limits your chance to pitch yourself. Plus, publicists, we screen the client. Like, I can't get a client on who doesn't meet the ladder strategies, the ladder strategy requirements. That is, I wouldn't put somebody on Fox News that's never had media day in their life. There's just no way. It cost me my job, believe me. And I own the company. I'd fire myself. All right? So, Brian, somebody pitching themselves, getting into the national media is very slim because of the way that it really works. One, barriers to entry. Very hard to get through to the specific media person on the specific moment that they want to book an expert in your area of expertise, right? Think about that. That's needle in a haystack. Timing. Now, what happens when they say prove it? Are you going to be ready or are you going to stumble? And if you don't anticipate the prove it question, you may not know why you're good. Or aren't you supposed to know why I'm good? No. The producer's not supposed to know why you're good. Your publicist knows why you're good and knows how to leverage. Also, as publicists, we have the ear of the media. we didn't mess it up. We didn't, like, email blast everybody in the world, and so we're on everybody's blacklist. We carefully select the media that we're going to present to, and therefore they trust us. So we have the respect of the media, and we'd never jeopardize that by pitching a client that wasn't ready for an outlet or presenting unprepared. So to answer your question, it's tough. If a person does want to do their own PR, they can, and they have to go in confident, ready, prepared, and they have to know what the show is booking that very day. Are you willing to invest $2,500 in a top-level media placement that you can leverage into 100-fold, okay? You can leverage into your marketing. You can earn a return on investment. Or do you want to take on that job yourself and not do the other things that drive your business forward? So there is a time to buy services. There is a time to buy someone else's expertise, but that's where the retainer-based problem comes in. You don't want to buy someone else's trying for $60,000, $45,000 to $60,000 for the length of the campaign. You want to just pinpoint outcomes. I want Fox News, please. You know, you're allowed to say that to me. And then I evaluate and I look and see where you are in the ladder strategy. Yeah, things have really gotten very, very tight, at the top levels of media, very much in demand because of its power, and so much in demand that other firms can charge up to $40,000 for a placement. Now, how do you use marketing to tie it all together? This is the important part, though, is that if you're getting media, now think of the wheel, and you have spokes in your wheel. Each spoke is now a business-building spoke, a success spoke. One of your spokes, of course, is you have to get the publicity. Okay, another spoke is messaging the publicity to your target market. So then another spoke is, how do I get to my target market? You need target market strategy. All right? So you see, it gets complicated. Success is a formula. And it's a formula where the spokes can be identified and you can work in all these areas. And yeah, the outcome is going to be success because it's a formula. It's not a miracle. It's formula-based. So now, what we find is very common among our authors and experts, of which there are numerous amounts, many, and their real stories are up on our site, of telling what it was like for them, is that they understood how to leverage their media. They didn't just get it and say, okay, great, publicity is going to make me rich now. No, it's not publicity that's going to make you rich, famous, and successful. It's the marketing of the publicity that's going to make you rich, famous, and successful, along with the other spokes in your wheel. So what happens when somebody gets on Fox or gets on the major, highly sought-after media? Well, you're going to find that they're going to put that up on their homepage on their site. This way, when new clients come, they automatically have that third-party seal of approval because you and I both know they didn't just walk in there and get booked. They earned the spot. Remember, I had to defend why they were good. Their education, their experience, their media experience, their point of view, their speaking events, the platform strategy, right? All these things that make them good and knowledgeable, I have to know that. That's why they're on that show. Not because they walk through the door and say, hey, I'm available. It doesn't work that way. So they're going to use that to their advantage. Now, they have an advantage. When new clients are deciding between three firms, and one firm has a beautiful presentation model where they're showing their videos on their shows, they're also proving other things, you know, associations that they have with big organizations, other major media that they've secured for themselves, such as a wire service. And this is possible. Experts, there's demand for experts at these top levels. But the ladder strategy gets you prepared for the top levels. And once you have all this media, you have a very strong positioning strategy. You have what we are calling it media goals. You have media goals for yourself. Now use it. Now leverage it. Let your target market know. Will you need a team for this? Of course. There's only 24 hours in the day, and we can only work 23 of them. Only kidding, Brian. All right. You're going to need a team, a professional team, where everybody's job is... Now, here's the point. You don't want this automatic deposit syndrome to take place in your organization. And it seems to be one of the problems a lot of businesses face is people performing at their optimal levels of success and really being part of the entrepreneurial team within the organization. So how do you want to structure? You definitely want to structure it on a rewards basis. Remember all the reasons, how much fun it is to hunt, to go after something, to get it. It's fun, and that makes you creative, more powerful, more cutting edge, just brilliant. All right, it's the adrenaline factor. You get the blink factor. Now, wouldn't you like to have a team of people whose job it is to make you successful who have the blink factor?
I love teams.
Pardon?
I love other people doing work for me.
Especially if they deliver outstanding results for you, right?
Absolutely.
Over and above. Brian, doesn't that make you feel really good when you put together a team and they not only do what you say they're going to do, but they also then say, here's how we could even do it better?
It's the best. Yeah, I think that it's important to have people on your team that are better than you.
Yeah.
It makes you look good, but it helps you progress.
Well, I love that you brought that up, because better than you, what good is it to have somebody who's just learning social media? What do they know about optimizing Facebook and Twitter? Nothing. You know more than they do. You have to hire people who are smarter than you. Again, that's called investment, not expense. Expense is paying someone else to learn on your dime. Don't do that. You hire someone, you'll get your money back, because now you will excel in the social media realm. And then you will earn. Your first client that you bring in is more than going to cover your entire, probably you're going to pay your entire team. That's how much these team members are worth. Because when you secure a client, you've paid for all that work, and now you're that much stronger. You've got that team in place, and now they're ready to go out and get you more clients, more events. It takes time, but it shouldn't take forever. It takes time. And where are we going, Brian? Do you realize we've known each other like over 10 years?
Long time.
Yes, a long time. And I'm not going anywhere, and I don't think you are either. So, you know, we just get stronger.
We're going up, right?
Pardon me, only up?
Yep.
Exactly. And we do it because we have a really strong team. And it's important to put together and clearly define what the goals of each team are and make sure that the people on the team understand what the outcomes are and in what timely manner. Because no entrepreneur wants to manage. It's as simple as that. We want entrepreneurs working for us. We want to have an entrepreneurial business environment, not a management, red tape, bureaucracy environment that creates automatic deposit syndrome and nothing gets done. And everybody's out there, well, you know what? If your competitors are running their business like that, well, you have a significant advantage if you are not running your business like that. If you've surrounded yourself with hungry, talented individuals who also get a little something-something when they perform outstanding work for you, that is, they get you your new client. They meet their goal. Well, how motivating is that?
You are so right. Absolutely. If they know that they get a little something extra, that makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. And it can be a lot something extra, too, as well. You know, we pay lucratively for those who help us all make money. And that should be the model. That's the success model. It is sharing the wealth, but doing it in a way where people earn it. People earn it, and they deserve it. See, the worst business model in the world is when the owner of the company gets all the money, and then they pay the employees a nominal salary to go out and do all the work. What happens there? Nothing. Nothing happens but automatic deposit syndrome.
Yeah, you're not getting the quality work that you could be getting.
No, but think of an entrepreneurial shop when everybody's in it. Everybody's in it for something. You have a buzzing environment, creative environment. It's all work. All work. There's nothing going on but work. But people are thriving doing it. And they're excited about the next day, and they can't wait for the next big idea. And every day it's a new
day. The bottom line is you want a PR person working for you that has that fire.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's perfectly summarized. When interviewing PR firms, look for the fire in their heart.
Yeah, you want somebody that loves what they do, they know they're good at it, and they want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be the best.
Mm-hmm. Or they are the best.
Well, they are the best.
I'll tell you, I had a funny
story. They know they're the best, right?
I know. I had this guy once. He came to me as a medical doctor, and I gave him my little, you know, intro call where I do. I am the best. I am number one in many, many areas, and I only sell what I can deliver. So I gave him my usual thing, which is just the truth. I have no problem saying I'm good. I can prove it. I can prove I'm good. See, some people can be shy. It's because they don't have the proof they're good. But when you know you're good, you're willing to say you're good because it's a fact. So the guy comes back after his campaign, Brian, and he goes, "You so undersell yourself." I said, "You're got to be kidding me." He goes, "Oh, yeah, you so undersold yourself in that first phone call." And his real story is up on our site. And he's the medical doctor whose mission it was is to share how to prevent heart disease before it begins. And he was on a mission, and his real story is up there at AnnieJenningsPR.com/publicitypro.htm. You'll hear all these real stories in their own words from real people doing it. And you can learn strategy on their attitudes, their outcomes, what they did with their publicity, and how it all worked out for them.
All right, Annie. Well, thank you, and thank you, Stacy.
Thank you, Brian.
I know the two of you have the fire. Hopefully people will be contacting you and be able to help out a few more.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for having us, and we'll see everybody next time.
All right. Have a good day.
All right.
Yep, you
Bye.
Too.
Bye.